Welcome here, guys. It's awesome to be with you. If you don't know me, I'm Michael, and I'm one of the pastors here today, and I get to continue in our Upside Down Kingdom series, Die to Live. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not enjoy watching baseball. It's just one of the sports that it's never really clung to my heart. The only game I can recall watching that I actually loved that was a baseball game was a Blue Jays game versus Texas when the Jays were down in the playoffs, and throughout a series of events, the Jays got two guys on base, and then Bautista got up, and he crushed a home run, and then he did this sick like bat throw thing. It was so legendary. But other than that individual baseball game, I can genuinely say I don't like watching baseball. But baseball movies, that's a completely different story. I love baseball movies, like, a lot. And one of my favorite baseball movies of all time is called 42. And it's about Jackie Robinson, the first black Major League Baseball player to ever get drafted to the MLB. And it's the story of him and Herb, the general manager, whose name is actually Wesley Ricky. And it's the story of what it was like for Ricky entering into a predominantly white-based, predominantly. He was the only black guy, so everybody else was white. And the journey that they go on throughout that year of what happened to Jackie and how it was going for Ricky. But this, you got to watch this passionate movie about baseball, but also about the movement that these guys believed in, about trying to bring equality to the minorities at the time. And it's one of my favorite movies, but today we're going to be looking at something like this. And we're going to be referencing this movie a couple of times, actually. But for these men to do this, they had to be extremely passionate about baseball. And they had to be extremely passionate about the movement to see change. And today we're looking at being passionate about God. And in our Upside Down Kingdom, something that we see is born out of passion is this. You have to die to let certain things live. Regardless of whatever it is, if it is baseball, if you're passionate about baseball, you have to sacrifice your time, sometimes with your friends, sometimes sleep, sometimes other fun activities that your other friends might be doing, that you might get better at this sport. People who are passionate about God, God looks at us, and in His Word, He writes for us that there are things we have to die to let this passion grow for Christ. And so in the Upside Down Kingdom, for us to live, it means we've got to die. That's what it means. So here, if we're going to be looking from Mark 8:34-38, and this is what it says. Then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of Me or My words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when it comes, when He comes in His Father's glory with the holy angels." What a beautiful little piece of scripture for us to dive into and mull over as we look at this. So what Jesus is saying to us in this opening line is that we need to deny ourselves. Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves. And this is really where we're going to get to see clearly what it means to die to live. Expositors is a commentary, and I rarely ever quote them because half the time the writing is just like watching paint dry. But sometimes there's just incredible lines. And here's one of the things that came from what they said. It says, "The denial of self, Jesus does not mean the resisting specific material things. He means the renouncing of self, ceasing to make self the central focus of one's life and actions. Doing so is a fundamental reorientation of the principle of life. God, not self, must be the center of one's life. So here when Jesus looks at us and says, you need to deny yourself, it's not as specific in reference to materials as much as it's meaning the denial of that life is about me and what I want. No longer at the center core is it Michael's desire, but rather it's God's desire for my life. The only people who will do that are those who are passionate about God, because it takes a lot for us to say, I'm no longer going to live for this. Anybody who's passionate about anything, whatever it might be, whether it's success in your business, whether it's a sport, whether you insert the things that we can choose to be passionate about, you got to choose to make that central focus, push other things out. But here's something I want to say about the things that we choose. We can, whatever we choose to make our passion, there will be things that we have to die to. But not all things we choose to die to lead to life. That's what I got to say. Not all the passions that we'll have will lead to life. In fact, it seems that Jesus claims that he is the only way to life, that there is no other way. So when we choose to deny ourselves, there's this great exchange. What is the fruit of what comes when I die? If I get so passionate about my business, if I choose to die to everything else, to grow my business, what's the end result? What will come from the sacrifices of it? And ultimately, I would say they're empty. They don't produce what we hope they will. Unlike when we choose to die to Christ, when you read Ephesians 2:5, it says that he will make us alive in Christ. That's what we get. We get to live when we choose to deny ourselves. So, deny ourselves. Reorient our life to make Jesus the centerpiece. I believe this idea of dying to self is getting harder and harder. And to deny ourselves, the world tells us this, right? Here Jesus is saying, make me the center of your life. And what does the world preach at us? Don't let anybody tell you who you are. Don't let anybody else define you. You define you. You come up with your identity. You write the story of your own life. And Jesus looks that dead in the face and says, I am 100% opposed. Not even slightly. Fully. Looks at it and says, you don't define you. Jesus looks at us and says, I define you. Jesus is the one who tells us who we are. That's what it looks like to reorient my life around Jesus and not around myself. But there's some beautiful things that come with this. When I begin to claim that Jesus is my passion, Jesus is my life, Jesus is my Savior, here's what I get. I have someone who tells me who I am. He has named me. He has called me. He has given me a purpose in life. He even shows me how to live. He tells me I'm his beloved. And all of these beautiful names come from claiming to the name of Jesus. But here's one that I love, 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 is that I'm never alone. When I hold on to the name of Jesus and I hold that Jesus is my centerpiece, it means that I've gained a friend in Christ. And now that he is with me all the time, I am never alone. You want that? You want to have that in your life? You want to have that confidence all of the time that you are loved? We all want that. But it comes at the cost of this. Denying yourself. You can't have yourself and God be the center of your life at the same time. You cannot name yourself and claim yourself and then hold to these wonderful things that Jesus is trying to offer. He tells us you got to pick. You got to pick. Growing up, I loved dinosaurs. Don't know if you've ever had them, but they're an incredible candy. And I would buy these big tubs. And I would sit down and I would watch a movie. And by the end of that movie, that entire tub would be gone. And I would immediately go, this was a terrible life choice. I probably just consumed 4,000 calories and who knows how much sugar. And as I got older, I began to go, this is a poor life choice. And even though I would sit down with that container, I would slowly just have to deny myself the pleasure of feasting on this little passion of mine called dinosaurs. And that was something I had to deny. And Jesus looks at us and says that to us. There's certain things that we have to deny. And I specifically think about our emotions. It's so much easier for me to act on my emotions of what I want to feel in a moment when someone has wronged me, when someone has offended me, when someone has injustice or wrongly done something to me. There's a way I want to act. But if Jesus is my center, it's not about how I want to respond. It's about Jesus looking at me and telling me how I ought to respond. Though I might not want to forgive, Jesus tells me to forgive. Though I do not want to be gracious, Jesus says be gracious, to be gentle, to be kind. That's what he asks. And I find that those emotions, that's what one way of what it looks like to deny myself. I told you I was going to return to the movie 42. Jackie Robinson, being the first black player, was going through the works. And something I must tell you about Jackie and the GM, Herbs, is that they were both faithful men to Jesus. They loved Christ. And one game that Jackie Robinson was playing, he was at play, and every time the other coach would scream out the N-word at him over and over and over again and kept on calling him racist and derogatory terms as he was going up to bat. And slowly this got harder and harder. The whole season had already been hard, but this was like the pinnacle of challenge to be a black player within this white league and amongst a lot of racists. And it shows Jackie Robinson walk below the dugout and take a bat and swing it against the wall, breaking the bat, screaming, and you're just feeling the fumes of this injustice, and nobody's doing anything, right? It's just him against this wall that he is up against. And then you see Herb walk in below the dugout as well. And it's this scene. And here's the conversation between Jackie and Herb. It goes, how am I supposed to keep going on like this? Herb responds, these men have to live with themselves. And Jackie says, I have to live with myself too. I'm the one living the sermon out there. And here's where you see this beautiful response from Herb. He says, you don't matter now, Jack. You're in this thing. You don't have the right to pull back on those people who believe in you, that respect you, that need you. And then Jackie asks him in response, do you know what it's like to have someone do this to you? And Herb's response is, no, but you do. You're the one out there living the sermon. You're the one in the wilderness, 40 days. And Jackie's feeling is, there's not a thing I can do about it. And Herb says, of course there is. You can get out there and you can hit. We need you, Jack. Everybody needs you. Your medicine, Jack. I love this interaction between these two because it's painting the picture of the trial, of the denial of how Jackie wants to respond and how he's choosing to respond. And you see Ricky walk alongside and lifting him up and telling him, Jackie, there's more at stake here than just your emotions. There's more. We need you. And the line I love the most is he says, your medicine, Jack. Your medicine. Man, what does the world receive when the Christian chooses to deny his own life and live for Christ? It's medicine. Look at the world we live in. Why is it so hard? It's because the world is in such this dark place. And when we choose to say yes to Jesus, the world around sees it and says, what do you got that truly has given you life? What is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But this is where we move into this next part, which we don't want to miss at all. And it's where Jesus looks at us and says, carry your cross. Do you feel the burden of what Jackie was carrying in that scene? of what it would be like to stand amongst the crowd alone where there's nobody around you who is having to go through what you're potentially going through. Jesus says to take up our cross. And when I hear that, when I think about a cross, that ain't a light thing. It's a burden. It's a burden to bear. When we bear the name of Jesus, when we choose to deny my way of life and make Jesus the centerpiece of what I'm going to live for, about let that passion outshine any other passion of my life, it totally comes at a cost. It totally comes as a weight. It totally comes at the denial of self that literally translates into weights. You know, Jesus walking down the road, when he's telling us to carry our cross, he literally walked that cross to his own grave. And so Jesus looks at us and tells us that it's going to be the same. You know, sometimes when we think about Christianity, we just want to say, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you believe in me, everything's going to be easy, light, fluffy, and dandy. Man, think about an addict who wakes up every day and has to give up their drug of choice out of surrender to Christ. That is a heavy weight and sometimes a very hard day. And I don't want us to be blind to that. It's heavy, it's painful, and it can be a struggle. And if I'm going to be honest, there's been more days than one where I really look at being a leader in ministry and go, can I really keep going and carrying this weight and carrying this burden of this call that God put on my life? Like I said, Jesus names me, he's claimed me, and he's given me my call. Can I really keep going in this? And what I will tell you is if it's me alone carrying this burden, I will fall. I will crumble under the burden of carrying the light of Christ, of carrying the things that it means to be a Christian, to live the life that we're called to. Cannot do it. And it's almost laughable sometimes when you read this, you know, because there is a burden. When you choose to deny how you want to emotionally respond to someone and respond as Christ tells us to, that's heavy and hard. And when you come to this verse in Matthew 11, 28, 30, it says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And honestly, sometimes when I read that or I think about the Christian life that I walk, I go, are you kidding me? That is not what I feel I experience. But the truth is, the most of the times that I experience that burden of the carrying of the cross, of what it means to deny myself and live the Christian life, most of the time I feel the burden of it is when I'm not turning to Jesus with that burden. And I'm just trying to carry it on my own. Wake up and say, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to be good enough today. I'm gonna pull myself up by my bootstraps. Those are the days that the burden grows greater. But Jesus tells us, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. It seems to me that the only way we have the strength to actually carry the cross is if we turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to help me carry the cross. Where it says, blessed are those who mourn, in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's not about just mourning anywhere where you get comforted. It's blessed is the one who goes to Christ. That's where you'll be comforted. And I have genuinely experienced this, where I have felt in a day, I cannot keep going. And I got to Jesus, and I like wept before him. And it's like the verse he says here, word for word, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's like he grabs it and he lifts it off our back for us to stand. Now, sometimes what we're hoping for is that yoke that is easy and that burden is light, when he lifts it, he'll just, that one time lift will be strong enough to carry me for the next like month or the next year or the next 5 years. But really, sometimes it's like the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He gives us the light yoke enough for that day to keep moving, to keep going, and he truly carries it. But that burden sure grows greater the less time I'm spending with Jesus. Jesus sure wants us to be intimate with him. And he wants us to continually be running to him. But in all that, what I'm trying to get at here is this denial of self, this dying to self. It does have a weight, but the weight is sure worth it when you recognize who's there with you and the reason why you're doing it. If you don't know the why, man, I can't imagine being a Christian and not knowing why I'm sacrificing all this stuff. I meet so many people who have no idea why they do what they do for Jesus. But I'm telling you, it's completely worth it when you find that intimacy with Jesus and you find the reason for life, which is in Christ alone. And he gives you the life needed. So that's the second thing we can really see. Deny yourself and take up your cross. And then he moves into this third line. He says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in my Father's glory with the holy angels. Who will you say Jesus is before the world? Who will you say I am? How many times did Jesus ask that to people? When we look back at Jackie Robinson, Herb, there's this scene between Jackie and Pee Wee Reese. What a great name. It just rolls right off the tongue. And they're down in a place where racism was even thicker playing this one game. And there's a moment where Pee Wee Reese runs over, and there's a real photo of this, where Pee Wee throws his arm around Jackie in the middle of the game, and Jackie's going, what are you doing? And his response is, I want everybody to know where I stand. I want the whole crowd to know. I want my family to know that I'm not opposed to you, that I'm with you. Jesus looks at you and I and asks that same question. Are you with me? What do your lips say? And what does your life say? And here's the even more profound scene that really it captures this picture. And it's the moment between Ricky and the Philadelphia manager. And here's the conversation. So the Philadelphia manager saying, we're not going to take the field if you bring Jackie Robinson. And Ricky responds and says, well, we're coming with Jackie, and if you want to choose to forfeit the game, that's fine. That's a 9-0 win for us. And the Philadelphia guy begins to shout at him, what's going on with you, man? And this is how Ricky Erb, the general manager of Jackie's response, he says, do you think God likes baseball? And the manager responds, what does that mean, Herb? It means one day you'll meet God. And when he inquires why you didn't take the field against Robinson in Philadelphia, and you answer him it's because he was black, I'm not sure your answer will be sufficient. What about us? What about our reason for denying Jesus in the marketplace? What sufficient answer will we be able to give? Jesus wants his name to be known to the world. And he looks at you and I and says, who will you say I am? And it's incredible to me how challenging it can be sometimes. But there's more than one way to deny Christ. You know, it's not just a passive thing. It's not just an active thing sometimes. Sometimes it's the passive moments too, where you're like, well, I didn't deny him. It's like, but you didn't choose to speak up either. You know, you didn't come to my defense. Whether it's with our lips or with our lives, it's supposed to be the reflection of Jesus everywhere we go. You know, if you claim the name of Christ, if you say you got Jesus in your heart, you are the living hope to the world. Like I said, not all things we die to lead to life. In fact, Jesus said there's only one thing that leads to life, and it's a surrendered life to Christ. And he says that he's going to use us, these broken vessels, to show it to the world. And I don't want to have the excuse of having to apologize that day when I get to glory and saying, God, I'm sorry I didn't make more of your name. He wants us to get up there and do it. And I know how many of us feel right now. It's getting harder and harder to claim the name of Jesus. You know, the world so strongly opposes the message of Christ because Jesus is opposed to it. But it's not because he doesn't love the world. It's because he does love the world, he's opposed to it. Because Jesus is for truth, he can't stand with lies. The culture opposes Christianity. There's dirt on the church. These days, you know, I think about the little children who were found, who were killed by Christians. It wasn't even by the world. Christians did horrendous things in the name of Christ. So for us to stand with Jesus still, are we certain? But I'm not going to deny Jesus. I remember one time I was in Toronto and I got to preach the gospel to a group of Muslims and Buddhists and a bunch of my old high school friends. And I stood on the back of this truck and I got up there to proclaim the gospel, you know, 19-year-old Michael. I begin to speak. The first thing that happens is the speaker blows. And so then all that I'm left to do is to truly project with everything of my being as loud as I can for the crowd to hear. There was a crowd probably of like 200 to 300 people there. The gospel message. And every bit of my fiber being was trembling with fear, you know, as I proclaimed this message. And I remember when I got down after proclaiming the gospel, was going, I finally did it. I never need to do this again. And I don't ever want to do that again. Because I felt the pressure of what it was. And I just remember the gentle rebuke that I felt from Jesus over the next little while. And even to this day, Jesus will remind me of that moment of saying, what will you do today, Michael? Will you deny me or will you proclaim my name to those around? If you aren't the hope in your circle, and if we're not the hope to the world, who is? Who will tell them? Half the time we kind of have this idea of someone else will do it. Someone else will tell my friend. You know, but there's still countries when we look around the world that essentially is still silent, that need the gospel. Jesus looks at his believers of where they are and says, you are the light of the world. Who will you say I am to those around you? And it's out of this passion that these things come. And if you're feeling discouraged or you feel, man, I've denied Jesus, remember Peter, guys. Luke 22. Peter denies Jesus 3 times before the rooster crows. Imagine that sinking feeling he would have had, you know? But then when you read John 21, when they go catch the fish, Peter, when he sees Jesus, he jumps out of the boat and swims back. He swims back to Jesus. And Jesus asks him the question, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. 3 times he asks him. And when I see this moment, here's what I see. You know, we're all bound to have our moments and fail, but where are we going to run and what are we going to do with those failures? Peter gets up and we know the testimony of Peter. But when we fall, where do we run? Run to Christ. Peter was passionate about Christ. Jackie Robinson was passionate about Christ. And he denied himself and he buried his cross to make ways for those who came after. But not only that, his testimony is a total testimony to Jesus. Same with Ricky the GM. Their testimonies are to the power of Christ. So where are we really going to find this life? You know, to live, if I really want to live the life that's worth living, where am I going to find it? Well, it's when I choose to die to myself and say yes to the life of Jesus. A man can chase his own meaning of life, and a bed of disaster is bound for him. Jesus says, make him the center of your life, not you. Then you will have the life that you've always been looking for. We all want meaning in life, and there's only one place where it can be found, and it's in Jesus. But the starting points, we've got to say no to ourselves. Reorient our life around Jesus. And 2, carry the burden of what it means. But the good news is Jesus helps us carry it. And as we go, Let's make sure we proclaim the true person of who Jesus is. And as you do that, you'll get to see the testimony of what happens to your friends around you and the life that you'll really experience. It's not as complicated as we make it out to be sometimes. Final story, and this will be it. An author and designer named Beckett Cook wrote a book called A Change of Affection, A Gay Man's Incredible Story of Redemption. He was sitting in a coffee shop one day, and beside him was these two guys reading a Bible. And he turned to them and said, "You guys don't actually believe that book." And these guys responded, "We do. We do believe that book, this book." And Beckett, being the man that he was, very vocal about his life choice of living a homosexual lifestyle, said, "So you're telling me you oppose my lifestyle?" And they looked at him and says, "You know, that doesn't seem to be God's best way. But if you want to learn more about this Jesus and introduce you to who he is, we'd love to do that. You can come tonight." And he was shocked at their answer. And keep in mind, this isn't just some guy. Beckett's just not some guy. He was like a very high-level designer in Hollywood, made stuff for Natalie Portman kind of person, and had lived this very promiscuous life for years. And what you'll find when you hear his testimony is that he felt so empty. And these guys come proclaiming the message of Jesus and the life that can be had in him and him alone. Well, Beckett was so intrigued that he actually took them up on their offer to go to a Bible study or a small group with them. And when he went, the experience of love that he felt within the church community was profound. But then not only that, the message of the truth of who Jesus claimed he was profound as well. Beckett ended up spending more time hanging out with these guys, and it got to the point where he said yes to Jesus, and he denied his old way of life, and now chooses to live a celibate life. But he says he's found the life that he was looking for all this time. The meaning and the purpose was found in Jesus and Jesus alone. What about our lives? Is there something within us that we need to reorient? Maybe that we got to take out a piece where I'm saying yes to myself and saying no to Christ. Jesus wants all of us. And the more we give to him, the more life we will experience. And that's his promise. But it sometimes starts with a feeling of burden before we get to experience all of the joys that are found in Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one who's listening into this. Lord, is there something in my life that you're asking for me to deny, say no to? If so, I pray you would highlight it now. Lord, the burden of being a believer in you sometimes feels heavy. Jesus, I pray now that you would give us the strength to highlight the pieces that we're trying to carry on our own, that you might take, God, because I believe the promise where you say, your burden, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I believe it, Lord Jesus. I pray that we would experience that. Lord, I just renounce in the name of Jesus, if there's anybody who tuned into this who feels ashamed or guilty, I would just rebuke that. Rather, Lord, if there's something you're wanting to speak of conviction to us, that we would have a heart to hear it and receive it and act, Lord Jesus. I pray you bless each one. In your name we pray. Amen.